You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I am sometimes Tony Heath.
Sometimes?
Yeah.
And this is always the Watchathon of Wrestling.
You're looking at me expectantly.
You always do like a little bit there.
Do I?
I mean, yeah. Sometimes it's just, yes it is.
That's why I say when I can't think of anything.
I know. You think you would have like...
You think I would like do some sort of these. Prep and like come with a joke ready, but I don't.
Cool. Today we're going to be talking about the sixth and final serial of the 20th season of Doctor Who, The King's Demons, which consists of two episodes that aired from March 15th, 1983 to March 16th, 1983, two in a row. That's what that is. How do you feel about that?
How do I feel about it?
Yeah, it aired one episode one day and one episode the next, very next day.
Why is that a fact that requires me to two-night feel event. Something about it?
It's interesting. Probably. Maybe.
Is it?
Yeah. Those are the Joe facts.
Joe facts!
I'm going to give a special shout out to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Golden!
You can check him out at matthewgolden.net. And what's up?
I don't know.
Anything going on that we should talk about?
Sitting here in our home recording a podcast. What's up with you?
This one's going to be a short one.
I mean, it's a short serial, but I also don't have a lot to say about it.
I think you don't have a lot that you're remembering.
That is also true. How long ago did we watch this one?
Almost 2 weeks.
Two weeks, yeah, at least.
I think something. I don't know. It's
which
been,
in 2020 years is a couple months.
I think we watched it on like Monday or Tuesday, and then we went to St. Louis, and then we came back. We were going to record it before St. Louis, and then that didn't happen. We were going to record it this weekend, and that didn't happen. We just keep putting it off, and it's like, because we don't have anything to say about it.
Yeah.
Not really. This is a finale. The second season finale of The Fifth Doctor. We're going to be starting his last season very soon. Not the next one, though. The next one's a special. But yeah, this was not intended to be the finale. There was a strike, and things got shuffled around, and things got canceled, and that made this the finale instead of a more proper ending to a season. They were going to do a serial called The Rescue, which was going to have Daleks in it. Because every serial this season's had something from the past. Do you remember what this one is?
This one has... oh my god, literally what happens in this?
What's the thing that what's the thing that returns for this serial?
The Doctor.
It's a guy. It's the villain.
Oh, it's the Master. The Master is in it. I remembered a thing about this serial. The Master is in it.
Yeah, we've had the whole season. We've had Omega, then the Brig. I may be getting these out of order. Omega, the Brig, the Snakes, the Kenda.
The Snakes.
The Snakes. Black Guardian. Ugh. And now the Master. And then it was going to be the Daleks, but that guy. Shit canned. So let's talk about it. Let's dive right into episode one of The King's Demons, which I have called The King's Demons! Demons!
You what?
You know that weird AE symbol from
the
Diamonds? Do you remember that?
I remember it.
The Diamonds!
Why do you have to yell it?
The Diamonds. The Demons. I don't know how you pronounce it. Daemons.
It's definitely not just by shouting it.
I don't know why I'm sounding like a car shifting gears.
I don't know why either.
Anyways, the King's Diamonds.
It sounds like you're saying the King's Diamonds.
No, it's Daemons. Diamonds. That's what it is.
What happens in it?
Oh, in the Daemons? Well, there was the Third Doctor and the Master, and there was this giant demon who was defeated by love. Do you remember that? It's good times.
The King's Demons.
Oh, all right. So first off, we start off and we're going to party like it's 12:15 because we're in a castle and it's 12:15 and everybody's having a party.
Also your birthday.
We're going to party like it's my birthday because, yes, it's March 4th, 12:15. Very important historical date, probably. It predates Magna Carta.
Oh, no. I just remembered what does happen in this thing.
You were going to, like, Google and see
and
what Magna Carta was about.
Here's the thing.
We didn't do that shit.
The whole time it was driving me crazy because I was like, I learned about the Magna Carta. I memorized, like, information about it in grade school. And this whole serial, I was just like, what was the Magna Carta again?
Magna Carta Libertatum is... it means freedom for taters.
Great Charter of Freedoms.
It's a royal charter of rights agreed to by King John of England at Runnymede near Windsor on June 15th, 1215. So we're a few months before this. It was to make peace between the unpopular king and a group of rebel barons. It promised the protection of church rights, protection for the barons from illegal imprisonment, a bunch of other shit. Everybody got a cool hat. I think there was a lot of like riders on this bill. I don't know. What do you know about it?
I mean, I have the same Wikipedia page pulled up that you do.
There's a bunch of shit, and it was like, I guess, a good thing that, spoilers, the master's gonna try to fuck up so that he can rule the world or something. Who knows? Anyway, there are also dogs at this party, and that's important. There's some great big dog boys.
I'm not even listening to you because I'm just reading the Wikipedia entry on the Magna Carta. Right, yes. Also,
great big shaggy dogs. What kind of dogs were those? They were like big gray dogs. Do you remember?
Big.
They were very big shaggy dogs. I can send you a picture of them.
Yeah, send me a picture of the dogs.
Because it's important that you remember what these dogs look like.
I didn't even notice the dogs in this scene, which is why I did not know what you were talking about.
How did you miss the doggos? There's some great big old doggos.
I don't know what kind of dogs those are. You know who would know?
Chris Cherry.
Christine would know.
Hold on. I'm going to send Chris a message real quick. Christine Cherry, dog expert.
The dogs are not important. I don't know.
Dogs are very important. How dare you tell me?
I don't
me?
Know why we're spending How so much time you? On this. They're just in that shot.
We'll give you an update if Chris replies to what kind of dogs are these?
It's not important.
I sent her the same gif that I sent Tony. Okay. We meet King John of England.
Who kind of sucks.
He does seem a lot like the King John in Robin Hood, which came out before this, so I wonder if it was a deliberate sort of style, like he was sort of playing with that pop culture. Is it King John in Robin Hood? I don't know.
Yeah.
Is it? Okay. So I wonder if like he was sort of playing off of that pop culture representation of King John a little bit. I don't know. Maybe that's just how kings are. I don't know. But yeah, he's a dick. He's grumpy. He wants taxes from this guy that's a guest at his party, whose name is Ranulph Fitzwilliam.
Well, he's not a guest at his party. They're in his castle.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Rude.
He's the king, so it's kind of like everything is the king's, so it's his.
That's true. But he's just like at this party and is like, hey, give me money. I'm the king. What you gonna do about it? And that's rude. That's rude. I know he's the king, but that's rude. And this Ranulph guy, whose castle this is, says, I already paid. I refuse to pay more.
He literally does not have any more.
And his son, Hugh, is like...
Wait, why did you say it like that?
Hugh. I don't know. I'm punch drunk a little bit. I don't know why. His son is like, he's like, I will fight for your honor, Dad. And like slaps the king's champion with a glove. Which I did not realize at this point that the king's champion was the master.
The master.
But I realized pretty quickly.
I never know until you tell me.
So, because he won't pay taxes, his son and the king's champion are going to have a joust. And when he steps out of the tent, that's when I was like, that's the master. Because I could more clearly see his face. Which he just looks like the master, but with, like, red hair. He looks kind of like a caveman for some reason.
What accent is he doing?
French.
No, he's not.
His name is Gillis. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's spelled G-I-L-L-E-S. I remember they pronounced it really weird. But Estrum. Estrum, which you can rearrange to say... Tremus. which you can rearrange to read Master.
Huh.
To cover the surprise of this reveal, they credited him, not as Anthony Ainley, they credited him as James Stoker, which if you rearrange those letters, you get Stoker James.
Thanks.
No, you get Master's Joke. This is the dumbest thing they do. Who doesn't know that this is the Master, first off?
I didn't.
I did. Also, you reveal that he's the Master, but I mean, I guess they put that shit in, like, this week on Doctor Who. But that's dumb. Why even credit him?
Because then you couldn't come up with a neat anagram.
Anyway, they have a joust.
Throughout the whole joust, by the way, I was like, which guy is which color? They got big helmets on, and you're like, I don't know who's winning.
I wasn't paying close enough attention to know which one was which. I mean, they do the thing where it's like the Master, I think, stays on the left side and the other guy stays on the right side. But I was not paying. They put their helmets on way too fast for me to like clock it. But we cut to inside the TARDIS where Tegan has once again changed outfits into this like multicolored floral print thing.
It's so good. And then she puts a jacket, like a big, it's not a jacket, and it's not a sweater.
It looks like a fur coat or something.
It's almost more like a poncho. Whatever. It's even more amazing. Like, she has this outfit, and you're like, that's great. And then she's like, wait, let me put on my jacket. And you're like, holy shit, that's even better.
Yeah, it's like a fur poncho.
It's not fur.
It is. Like, it's like brownish furry.
No.
She gets another one later that's even more furry, but... Yeah.
No. Hang on. I'm pulling up a picture right now because you're wrong. It's like multicolored.
I mean, her shirt's multicolored.
Her poncho's multicolored.
Oh, wait. You're right. But it's still kind of like fuzzy looking.
It is fuzzy.
There's like patches and
stuff. It's the same. Yeah. The jacket is the same color as the shirt. Or the same blocks of color.
No, it's different. Like it's... The jacket's like red, yellow, brownish.
Brown and green.
And the shirt's like green, blue... Red,
yellow.
Yeah, but like brighter colors. Like there's no blue or green on the
I guess.
The coat thing. But it's just a lot
She gets
bright
a fur
colors.
Coat later, and that's probably what you're thinking of.
That is what I'm thinking of. You are correct. I'm dumb. This is not a memorable serial.
I know. That's what but this outfit is one of the most important things that happens in this serial. That's
more important than the dogs?
Yes. If it wasn't for this outfit, then there would be very little point to this serial.
I mean, there still is very little point to the serial. So they arrive, they interrupt the joust, and they step out and are mistaken for the king's demons, which the king's just like, oh yeah, those are my demons. You must be Lilith, he says to Tegan. And the doctor is like, we're not demons. And he's like, pfft. Come on, demons. Let's
watch this. Sounds
like
something a demon would say.
Such a weird thing. Was that like, is that like a thing? Did King John say that he knew demons?
God, we really know nothing.
Well, I search King John demons and the first four things I get is Doctor Who related. I don't think he did. I don't know.
He's not saying they were his demons. He's just like, oh, you guys are demons.
Yeah, but he's like very chummy with them. It's weird. Like he's not like, ah, demons. He's like, cool. Demons.
Come watch this show with me.
We're gonna hang. So Estrom knocks Hugh off his horse and almost beheads him, but the doctor stops it because that's what he does. They're actually kind of mad at the doctor for this. Hugh and Rainolf are a little bit like annoyed. Well, Rainolf's not annoyed because his son's been saved, but his son is like, my honor.
Christine has responded.
Oh, Christine has responded? Good ones. I told you they were good ones.
They're good boys.
That is true. But, like, what kind of dogs are they? But, yeah, he's kind of annoyed that his honor has been... He didn't die in battle or whatever. It's not cool. He looks uncool.
He looks lame, and now he's very upset about it.
But they are taken inside Rainulf's castle. And are taken to their quarters. They get separated from Turlough because Turlough just like, I'm going to just sort of look out the windows and stuff. I'm just going to sightsee a bit. He gets like pretty much disconnected from the Doctor and Tegan for the whole serial almost.
Nice.
And
nice.
They
nice.
Do not give a shit. I think there's even a point where Tegan's like, hey, what about Turlough? And the Doctor's like, don't worry about that. But yeah, that's when they go to the bedroom and Tegan takes, because she's freezing.
Here's the crazy thing. She's freezing in this cereal. She's the only one. And she's got this big, like, that poncho that she's wearing is fluffy. And then she has,
like she's wearing a carpet.
And then she puts, like, this big fur thing over that. And it's like, how can you be that cold? And no one else is anywhere near that cold. Is she okay?
No, she's got hypothermia.
Why is she so cold? I mean, she looks very cute, like, bundled up. She looks like she's...
The doctor gets bundled up a little bit, too, so, later. But he doesn't complain about being cold. Nor does Turlo. Turlo looks like Mr. Burns. Like, a young Mr. Burns.
Like, always or in the cereal?
Specifically in the cereal. Like, when they arrive, he's like... He is kind of, like, doing this thing with his hands. So he's hunching it over a little bit, and he looks...
He's supposed to be cold there.
Yeah, but I wasn't fully getting that. I was getting Mr. Burns. I just kept expecting him to go, excellent.
I just, for the amount of coats that she's wearing, it has to be freezing there.
It's a two-coat kind of weather.
Yeah.
And she's very tired and doesn't want to do an adventure.
No, she's not for it.
And it's at this point that the doctor thinks that the signing of the magnet... I don't know if he knows that it's being fucked with, but he...
Knows that it's soon.
He mentions, oh, hey, it's March 4th and Magna Carta's happening. Why is King John? I don't think King John should be here.
Yeah, King John's not supposed to be here. He should be...
In London.
Yes.
Doing Magna Carta all that stuff shit. We all know about that he did historically with the fox and the bear.
And turning everyone into furries.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've seen that movie. Killer theme song at the beginning, though. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. You know that one? It's great.
Yeah.
It's a good song. Love that thing. It gets stuck in my head all the time. Anyway, this thing. My next note says, Ranulf's wife, Isabella, is working on a thing. Every time they do one of these medieval things, there's always some, like, fancy-ass medieval, you know, woman with, like, the big dress, and she's sitting and, like, doing, like, a fucking seamstress thing.
I was gonna say, was she had a loom?
Yeah, she had a loom, and she was, like, doing something with it. It's been in, like...
Looming.
Every medieval thing. How popular? Was that just, like, super popular?
I mean, the thing is, the BBC has, like, one loom, and it's like, whoa, you were doing a medieval thing, gotta use the loom.
I want to say that, like, doing a loom was like looking at your phone in medieval times, you know?
Honestly, probably. What, yeah, like, what else you gonna do?
Freeze to death?
Wear eight coats at once?
Get some type of disease they don't have cures for yet?
No, that's today. You're confused.
Oh. All right. Damn. But Eastrom comes and takes her away, takes her prisoner, and I think Ranulf, too. I could be wrong, and he's going to take him to the dungeon. The dungeon in their own castle, or are they in the king's castle now?
No, their own castle. It's their castle.
Well, that's rude. No, he just takes his wife. He doesn't take Ranulf yet.
Just yet.
Because I'm remembering stuff. Turlo has also wandered off and also gets taken to the dungeon.
Why?
Because he looks like Mr. Burns.
But, like, the doctor and Tegan are just hanging out. Turlo gets taken to the dungeon because...
He was creeping around the castle.
Just don't like the way he looks. All right.
Like, I mean, he wasn't with the doctor and Tegan. He sort of, like, wandered off by himself. So, just looks suspicious. Now we have an update from Christine. Maybe Irish wolfhounds. So, those good dogs are maybe Irish wolfhounds.
From dog expert, Christine Cherry.
Oh, it could be English setter mixes. She's not as much of an expert as we thought. She's waffling. So, Turlo is taken into the dungeon where we see the Iron Maiden, which is just like this big casket. It's got boobs.
Why does it have boobs?
You gotta know that it's a maiden.
It's gotta be gendered.
And then they open it up. The guy who has taken Turlo says, fill her! Which is disgusting.
Just bad, bad phrasing. I'm furious right now, by the way.
Why?
Because I googled...
Iron Maiden?
Yeah.
And you... Did you get a bunch of stuff about the band Iron Maiden?
Sure did.
How do you even search, like, Iron Maiden?
The thing.
Not the band.
Iron Maiden device.
Iron Maiden torture.
They're all, every picture I see is open. I just want to see if there's a historical example with big tits on the front.
You know, they kind of look Dalek-ish.
I'm not seeing any with boobs. That is a choice made by the Doctor Who team and no one else.
I think you may be right.
That's a choice made probably, honestly, by the Master.
You know what? You're right. Because, well, Eastrom comes in and saves Turlo. He is like, don't put him in the Iron Maiden. Just hang him up over there. We'll deal with him later. But, you know, in his ridiculous French accent. And the reason why he does that, we will learn at the end of this episode. But the reason is, it's because it's not an Iron Maiden. It's his TARDIS.
It's a TARDIS. Which is a pretty good TARDIS. I'm really glad that the Master has a TARDIS that, like, has a working chameleon circuit, because that is an interesting idea.
And it never gets explored?
Yeah, well, not never. I mean, it does when the Master shows up, usually. And you're always like, oh, yeah, that's really cool. I forgot that that's, like, a thing that it can, like, that it can do. It lets you kind of think about, like, well, if I had a TARDIS, what would it be?
I mean, I've always said if I rebooted this show, I would fix the chameleon circuit. I wouldn't. I would have it change every episode. I would make nerds everywhere so angry.
It would make people lose their shit.
But it's iconic! Nope.
The thing is, my answer probably used to be a diner. And now that's like...
That's been done.
Been used, so...
I think mine would be a phone booth, but not this one. The Bill and Ted phone booth.
Yeah.
With a little red antenna thing on the top.
Is yours just not bigger on the inside either?
No, it still is. But it still is like you can see through it on the outside.
That makes me want to throw up. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Literally, that makes me nauseous and I want to stop thinking about it.
They probably just disappear once they go inside, but you can still see through to the other side. Like, it just looks like it's an empty phone booth.
Okay, but it's not.
No. Just imagine if you opened the door, like, you just saw, like, an empty phone booth.
Yeah.
But you opened the door, and you saw, like, a room in there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Through the glass bits, it would still just look like an empty phone booth. But, like, when you open the door, you would see.
Yeah.
You know?
I hate it.
Cool.
Okay.
I believe Eastrom, or the Master, also says we need to get that blue engine. I like them calling it the blue engine. Did they have engines in 1215?
No.
So, is that a clue or a fuck up? I don't know either, but he does call it a blue engine. Reynolf rushes into where the Doctor and Tegan are and is just like accusing them of being demons and doing something to the king. What did you do to the king? He's a dick now. Why'd you do it? The Doctor's like, whoa, it's not us. Tell me a little bit about the king and Eastrom and tell me what's up. Fill me in and I'll try to figure out what's going on. And Reynolf says that his cousin was summoned to London suspiciously. This cousin will eventually come back and be like, what the fuck? The king's here? I just left the king in London like 4 hours ago. That's weird. But that doesn't happen yet. But that's being set up now. So all this stuff makes the Doctor think that the king is not the king. Because the king is probably in London. And something's going on. Eastrom does indeed take the TARDIS. He puts it on a horse cart. And I don't know why I always love seeing the, like, TARDIS lugged around somewhere. I don't know why. Just, like, moved on a horse cart, or, like, in Marco Polo, they're lugging it around.
On a horse cart.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I don't know. It's just nice.
The TARDIS is locked and can't be moved except for on a horse cart.
Is that a new Who thing? I don't think they've done that in Classic Who at all, have they?
No, in Classic Who, they pick it up and move it around like a football.
Put it in a fucking airplane once.
Yeah. Is it locked in New Who?
I don't know.
I feel like there's something about, like, you can't just move the TARDIS.
Yeah.
That would be an insane design flaw.
He probably figured it out eventually. I don't know. So yeah, Cousin Geoffrey arrives and tells Eastrom the king's in England. And then Eastrom says, no, he isn't. Arrest this guy. He's a liar. So they arrest him. Meanwhile, the Doctor and Nyssa are just eating at the king's table. They're just hanging out, trying
always
to figure
good.
Out what's going on.
The way the cereal ends is stupid.
So the king gets a lute and does a whole fucking song.
A whole song.
It's really cool. It's a good song. It's fun. I like it.
You a big fan of the lute?
I'm a big fan of the lute. I didn't realize it was a guitar. I'm not gonna lie. I thought it was like a flute. I thought it was a smaller flute. How is a lute not a small flute?
Little flute.
Because you took the F off, so it's smaller. You got flute, and then you got loot, and then you got
the even smaller oot.
But he does this whole song. I don't remember any of the lyrics. There's something about putting the whole world to the sword. Like, it's a very aggressive song. Like, we sing a song for war and all that stuff. And the Doctor and Tegan look very uncomfortable about it. And then after the song, everyone claps and Eastrum's like, I've got more entertainment. Let's put Rainulf's cousin, Jeffrey, who's a liar, into the Iron Maiden. And the Doctor is like, no! And the King's like, how dare you interrupt this? And he's like, actually, I think we should boil him with oil instead? That's the proper punishment?
Yeah, why not?
And then everyone's like, we haven't done that in like a decade, but all right. And he's like, actually, wait. No, sorry. I'm sorry. I was just shocked. I was just shocked that this asshole, Eastrum, would have the poor taste to follow up your entertainment with his own. Like, you don't follow the king. That's a showstopper. That's, you do that, you're done. It's, you can't be like, oh, you think the king's great? Wait till you see this. That's just not done. Eastrum's like, how dare you? And slaps the Doctor with a glove, which means duel. Eastrum and the Doctor have a sword fight.
We haven't had this in a while.
Not since the Sea Devils.
Nobody ate a sandwich, so it wasn't as good.
Though there was eating during it. The king's eating the whole time. And there's like that bit where like the Doctor gets slammed onto the table and he's like lifting up his turkey leg.
Oh man, I would kill for a turkey leg.
It's not a bad sword fight, but it's nowhere near as good as the Sea Devil's sword fight.
No.
And so the Doctor bests Eastrum and knocks his sword out of his hand and like sticks his sword up under the master's chin, and he raises up and pulls up his tissue compressor eliminator, which I did not realize that that's what it was.
It always kind of looks like maybe a vibrator.
And so then his face goes all wibbly wobbly, and oh my god, it's the master? What? He looks exactly the same?
But at least now he can stop doing that terrible accent.
Oh, thank God. That's the end of episode one. And we are now to episode two, the last episode of the season, which I have called Sir Who.
Okay.
The Doctor says something about, like, you may have, like, different disguises, but it never disguises your true intent or some bullshit. But then the Master says that the Doctor is his, and I quote, greatest stimulation.
Yeah.
And that he has inspired him. How is that not like...
That it's flirting.
Yeah.
It's flirting.
Stimulation is a very interesting word choice while he's holding his vibrator in his hand. So the king tells the Doctor, you gotta kill the master. But the Doctor doesn't want... Well, like, even like the master's like, kill me. I think Tegan throws a fucking knife at him and he just catches it without even looking. Like, he drops the knife and like the Doctor has the tissue compressor eliminator and he's like, do it. Kill me. I know you won't. You've got morals. The Doctor doesn't do it. He's like, it's enough that I've beaten him. And the king's like, no, it fucking isn't. Put that.
Murder.
So they're going to put the master into the Iron Maiden. But the Doctor doesn't want that either. He's like, no. But
my boyfriend.
He's like, it's either him or cousin Jeffrey. One of the two of them is going into the Iron Maiden. He's like, all right, fine, put the master in. Because Jeffrey's innocent. So they put the master in the Iron Maiden. He screams.
But he screams a lot.
He's like, no, have mercy, please. But once he's inside of it, it does the...
Was that you doing its hardest? Just the...
Yeah.
What?
I can't do it. No.
Why does Darth yours? Vader. It's not even Darth Vader. It's like a duck Darth Vader.
You do the TARDIS sound. How do you do the TARDIS sound? Not so easy, is it?
I mean, I know how you do it. Give me a piano string and a key and I'll do it perfectly.
All right. Well, I don't think we have time for that. Okay. Or the budget. But yes,
our keyboard is electric.
The Iron Maiden is the master's TARDIS. So Jeffrey's like, okay, I need to go to London and warn the real king. But the master hears this inside his TARDIS and says, stop, Jeffrey. So the king is like, oh, hey, you just got here. Let's hang out. Don't go away, Jeffrey. You just got here. And so he goes off with the king. The master TARDISes to the dungeon and releases Hugh and Isabella. Okay, that's who got taken. Randolph is still free. Hugh, his son, got taken. Yes. I don't give a shit about any of these damn characters. So Hugh and Isabella get freed and are instantly just like, oh, cool, this master guy's really nice. Doesn't look anything like anybody we know. But he does not release Turlo because Turlo's like, I don't trust this guy because he's like saying like, he basically says that the doctor is doing the things that he's doing. He's done something to the king and made the king evil, and he's in cahoots with this evil king. Meanwhile, the doctor gets new duds. He gets like a fancy, you know, medieval rug.
It's a good outfit. Did you say rug?
Yeah, it's also like very like furry looking. Very warm looking.
I keep calling everything a rug.
But he gets new duds and he looks all fancy. And he also gets knighted and they call him Sir Doctor.
Right. Why?
Because he's the new champion.
Oh, because
he defeated the champion.
The old champion.
Who was Easterdom. So now the new champion. The doctor's first thing he does as champion is arrest Jeffrey and says, we're going to take him to the dungeon.
Jeffrey was like, you just said you were a friend. You fucking liar.
And but once they get to the dungeon, the doctor's like, don't worry, I'm a good guy. Releases Turlo, releases Jeffrey. Twas a ruse to get to the Iron Maiden, because they figures that's where the TARDIS went. He sort of fills everyone in on the Master and his Magna Carta plan. And they're also like, we need to get Jeffrey to London, and we'll have to get the TARDIS for that. Because he's like, it'll take me like 4 hours to get to London or whatever. And he's like, no, I've got a quicker way to do it. We just got to get to my TARDIS. But before they leave to get to the TARDIS, I didn't realize what was happening here. But the doctor turns on the tissue compressor. Yeah, and puts it inside of the master's TARDIS. So he just shrinks everything in the master's TARDIS, I guess. Overloads shit. He fucks it up, basically. That doesn't get revealed until the very end of the episode. In a sort of offhanded remark. It's the second master serial where he goes, oh, by the way, I kind of already defeated the master. We don't really need to see that happen. They go to find the TARDIS, but they see that it's missing. So Jeffrey's going to have to go on horseback. So Turlo offers to help Jeffrey find a horse.
This is like one of the other only good things. Which is like Turlo and the horse.
All he does is slap it on the ass. And then the horse rides out with Jeffrey on it. And he immediately gets shot with a crossbow. And they arrest Turlo for it.
Turlo was out of the dungeon long enough to do a thing.
And poorly at that. The doctor asks to be taken to the king, but gets taken by guards instead because the master's taken over. He's no longer in favor. They're taken into like the main room with the master or Randolph and all that stuff. The master's not there, actually. They're taken into there and like, I don't know, they're like, we need to get into your TARDIS. And Tegan is like, no, I have to go in alone because there's demon traps. If you open it, more demons will come out. And then she just gets in the TARDIS and TARDIS is away. And everyone's like, whoa, shit, it disappeared. Even though that's happened twice now. Like, they saw it appear. They saw the master's TARDIS disappear. They shouldn't be so surprised at things disappearing.
I mean, I don't know. How many times would it take you to get acclimated to shit just randomly appearing and disappearing?
After 2 times.
Okay.
The doctor uses this distraction to run away and change back into his cricket outfit. Like, he specifically is, like, taking off the big furry thing and putting on his own coat. Just because you gotta retain the image, you know?
He's gotta stay on brand.
So he's running away and he hears something. He hears the song from the first episode. The thing on the lute. And he goes into a room to see the king playing the lute and singing his song. But he doesn't look like the king anymore.
He looks like a friend. A robot friend.
Like, creepy ass robot.
Its mouth moves.
Its mouth does, and its eyes kind of blink. He's in that uncanny valley, too.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I know it's an actual, like, robot. I mean, it's a puppet or whatever. It's not, like, a real person.
Yeah.
But it looks like a real person. Like, part of me is like, I don't know why they didn't just do...
Like a person?
A, like a costume or something, because it's fucking creepy. It looks so human, but isn't, and I...
Nice. That is the sweet spot.
Apparently, the person who operated it and made it died after the cereal, and no one knew how to use it after this one.
A post, I mean, that I think was a joke, but that was just like, they just found it, actually. Like, they just found it and no one knew where it came from. That's why it was so cursed.
That's actually kind of the story in the story, is that the master found, his name is Chameleon.
His name's Chameleon and I love him.
Chameleon with a K. It's spelled Came Lion. But he found him on Zarephos. So you remember in that boring time flight?
No.
There was those aliens that he fucked over. And then he got... The doctor sent him to their planet. And we didn't really actually see any of that. The doctor just told us about it. That's where he was sent to. And that's where he found Chameleon, who was designed to be a weapon. Because he's a shapeshifter. And he used Chameleon to escape somehow. He's just going to use Chameleon to sort of take over governments around the universe and rule, basically, right?
Yeah, you know, it's standard master shit.
And he is controlled psychically. The master can control Chameleon psychically. So the master and the doctor proceed to take turns turning him into each other.
Which is also flirting.
That's true. I think the master turns him into the doctor, and the doctor turns him into the master. And then once he turns him into the master, Chameleon goes, quite masterly. Dumb. Then they just, like, talk for way too long. They just...
Flirt.
They just flirt. They discuss his Magna Carta plan, and just like, you'll never win. Oh, you'll never win. And it goes on for way too long, while just there's a robot sitting between them, just slowly turning his... creepy ass head.
Oh, that is a thing too. It's like it
rotates. It doesn't turn left and right. It just rotates clockwise and counterclockwise.
You gotta move the puppet so that it still seems alive, but also like it's not responding or reacting to anything. It's just twitching there in the middle.
Mm-mm. Ugh, I don't like it. So meanwhile, Turlo has been brought in to the Reynolf and all that, and everyone thinks that he shot Jeffrey. Jeffrey dies and says, like, a couple of weird, like, Dr. London King, and then dies, which is not fucking helpful.
We all already had all that information.
Turlo's like, hey, clear my name, and then he's like, nah, peace out, and dies. So Reynolf and Hugh come in to say that, like, Jeffrey's died or whatever. They come in after he turns back into the king, and he's like, go get the boiling oils for the doctor. We've caught the doctor. And they're like, cool, we hate the doctor. So they run off to get the oils. And then the doctor and the master proceed to have a mind fight. Which is just the camera cuts back and forth between their profile faces.
More and more quickly.
And then Chameleon, which is, he looks like the king right now, starts to weirdly glow. That's when Reynolf comes in. They're like, we've got the boiling oils. What the fuck is going on? And the master is like, still trying to keep his like concentration. He's like, the doctor, kill. And he's like, all right. So he gets his sword and he's going to go stab the doctor. And then the TARDIS appears. Because this whole time, Tegan's just been trying to figure out how to get the TARDIS back. It just keeps cutting to her, like, bashing on controls and like, the fuck? There's this great shot where it just, like, you hear beeping and then she looks up confused and it just zooms in on her face and she just goes, what now? Which is a very relatable feel. So the TARDIS appears and that's when Chameleon turns into Tegan. I don't know why he had to turn into Tegan.
It seems incredibly rude. I think it is just to establish that, like,
the doctor has control.
Yeah, because how else would you do that? Like, it's like if you turn it into somebody that's like on the doctor's side, then right. You're like, oh, the doctor has control now. Except that it just seems really rude. Like, Chameleon comes into the TARDIS where Tegan is, and Tegan's like, what the fuck? And the doctor's like, oh, that's just Chameleon. And Tegan's like, okay, why? Why did you make this robot look like me? That's upsetting.
The doctor also almost leaves Turlo there, by the way. Turlo, like, grabs a sword and is threatening the master with it. And the doctor's like, come on, let's stop fussing. But he doesn't do anything to rescue Turlough. Turlough does it by himself. The Doctor has given zero shits about Turlough this entire serial. But they get on the TARDIS and they TARDIS away. And the Master turns into a fucking Scooby-Doo villain. And he's like, "Fool, medieval misfits!" It's a line he literally says. Medieval misfits. He would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for those medieval misfits. And their shape-shifting robot. And then, yeah, on the TARDIS, that's when the Doctor says they screwed up the Master's TARDIS with the tissue compression eliminator thing. We sort of more formally meet
Chameleon. Because now he, like, has a personality.
He at one point even says, "I have a mind of my own." He still sounds like the King, though. Does he just have the King's voice?
I mean, sure.
Tegan does not trust him.
Tegan doesn't trust anyone, and you know what?
Fair enough.
She's right, too.
And then he's like, "Where will Chameleon stay?" Or, no, Chameleon says, "Where will I stay?" And she's like, "He can have my room, because fuck it, I'm out." And the Doctor gets all huffy and is like, "Fine, I'll take you home."
The Doctor literally throws an entire temper tantrum.
He does.
Like, he's like, "Well, all right, well, I'm planning a course for Earth to take Tegan back." And Tegan's like, "What?"
He's like, "I was going to show you all these great wonders, like... the, I don't know, the Eye of Orion." And, like, Turlough is like, "Hey, we were going go to my home." What? But then he is like, "But the Eye of Orion is pretty great.
I've been there and it is pretty killer. They've got the best arcade."
And Tegan's all like, "Well, I don't want to go home. Let's go to the Eye of Orion."
The Doctor can't just talk about his feelings. He can't just be like, "Hey, it kind of hurts my feelings when you, like, act like you want to go home. Do you want to go home? If you want to go home, I'll drop you off." No, he has to be like, "All right, I'm kicking you out. Fuck you. You don't have to be with me if you don't want to. Like, chill out. Like, use your words. Communicate a little bit. It's okay."
He's like, "All right, fine. We'll go to the Eye of Orion." And he starts to head out. She's like, "Are you not going to... you're not going to change the coordinates?" He's like, "Oh no, they're already set for that." And then does a big goofy grin because he's a little stinker.
Yeah, that should be cute, but actually it's just super annoying.
And that's it. That's the end of the serial and the season. They didn't even stop. They're just like, "The Master doesn't have this robot now. I'm sure he can't do anything."
They just left him there.
Like, it's March. Magna Carta is in June. He could go to London and still fuck shit out. Oh, wait, you know what, though? The Doctor did fuck with his TARDIS.
Yeah.
And, like, it shows the Master getting into his TARDIS, and he's like, "Ha, ha, ha." And then it's like, the Doctor's like, "Who knows where the fuck he'll go, because I screwed that shit all up."
Yeah, so, like, but he's like, in a TARDIS still, that doesn't work. But, yeah, so is the Doctor.
There's even a joke about, like, "I wonder what that's like, not knowing where you're going."
I think Tegan says it. It's not, like, a super satisfying solution to just be like, "Oh, remember that thing I did? It broke everything." "All right, let's go." You're like, "Oh, okay."
The end. That's it. That's the end of the King's Demons. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with final thoughts.
What will you do when your child asks?
What were Saturday morning cartoons?
What were Saturday morning cartoons? What's wrong with you?
Or will you handle it the right way?
Sit down, baby girl. Let me introduce you to my friend, Mark McCrae.
Join Dan Klink and I on the Best Saturdays of Our Lives podcast as we take a unique behind-the-scenes look at the history and dynamics of animation with plenty of laughs along the way.
The Best Saturdays of Our Lives podcast is a proud member of the ESO Network.
Hey, Joe.
What?
You know what time it is?
Yes, it is.
It is 9:27 p.m.
God. Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm glad we've established how late it is. I want to go to bed.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah?
You know what time it is?
What time is it? I mean, it's 9:27 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
You're supposed to say it's time for final thoughts.
Oh, it's time for final thoughts.
Final thoughts.
I want to go first because I won't have anything to say after you've gone. Because there's not much to say. Look, here's the things that are important. Tegan has a very good outfit. We get a robot companion. I'm done.
You have nothing else to say?
Okay, here's the thing. I'm, like, super excited about Chameleon. And then I was like, man, I don't know how many things Chameleon's in. And I think Christine was like, he's going to be in, like, two more episodes and not even, like, coming up. Like, they just forget about him. So that's kind of a bummer. Look, sometimes things happen and you have to and you have to just get something to air. And it is what it is. And that's it.
I agree. And I have a few more things to add. Another important thing. Dogs!
There were dogs, I guess.
There were some good, good doggos. I'll say the king was pretty fun. I like the king. Of this like cast that's not the main cast or the master, he was the only one that I liked.
Hmm.
Like, he was fun to watch. Everybody else was boring as hell, and I did not give a shit about him. I like Chameleon. And I think he's creepy, but I like the idea.
They had, like, a little bit of time to kind of establish his character, you know, because he was the king up until that, and then, like, at the end, he's like, I'm Chameleon, and I'm a companion. But, like, it's enough time for you to be like, that guy could have been really fun. He's a little sassy.
But yeah, it was very rushed. There's just not much there.
This exists to fill a hole, and that's really, like, really, the best thing you can say about it.
It really sucks that this was, like, the finale. I mean, I know it wasn't intended to be, but, like, I still feel like you could have had something more satisfying. It just kind of... But also, it's kind of repetitive. One of the bigger things in it is the sword fight, which is just a less good version of what happened in the Sea Devils. But you also have... The entire plot is that the king is a robot, which has been done before.
That
we
is
did
true.
That in The Androids of Terra. That had a robot king.
Oh, yeah.
He was more comedic, but I don't know. It's just like, you had some interesting ideas, but you didn't do anything with them. Everything was just kind of there.
It's just time. I mean, like, this wasn't something that, like, this was written to replace something, right?
No.
I thought, like, it wasn't supposed to be the finale.
It wasn't supposed to be the finale. There was supposed to be an additional serial after this one.
Oh.
It wasn't written to replace anything.
Oh.
This was always intended. Yeah, it wasn't a replacement. There was going to be an additional serial that got canceled.
Yeah, okay. Well, then that's a shame then. Because it's not like there are uninteresting things here.
It's a filler serial. It's just not fulfilling. It's just not good. And, like, everything that's done on it has been done better before. We've had medieval episodes that have been way more fun than this. But it had a killer lute song.
That's true.
And I learned what a lute was.
And Magna Carta.
I still don't know what Magna Carta is. I think that's it. That's all I got.
That's all I got.
Anything we need to plug?
Please keep watching The Unseen World. See Unseen World everywhere on social media. Follow us on social media. Please follow us on Facebook. See Unseen World on Facebook. Give us a like. Follow me on Twitter at Forward Power, FWDPWR. I tweet there. I'm trying really hard to get more Twitter followers. I'm trying to use Twitter more, but, like, it's been a mistake. I've been like, I need to use Twitter more because I need to have like a web presence. But then I just kind of am like getting like sucked into this black hole that is Twitter, and it's bad. But you should follow me there. We have like something that's not ready to be talked about yet, but is exciting. So just have a vague sense of excitedness and like keep that in the back of your mind.
I should have a new sketch out, I believe. I hope that it happened. I may have forgotten, and it might go up in a little bit. But I believe My Two Clones just premiered at the Etowah Film Festival. It actually hasn't yet, because we're recording this in advance. But by the time this episode is out, it is just played at the Etowah Film Festival. I don't know how it did. I hope it did well. But I'm going to be uploading the video after the festival, which means that it should be up now to you listening.
Congratulations.
Thank you. You can...
You've been winning all kinds of awards and stuff.
My Two Clones has been in like 5 or 6 festivals, as the most festivals it's ever been in. It's at least 4, I want to say.
And you got that award for your ebook?
Yeah. Road Trippy was a finalist for the Page Turner ebook awards. There's still a possibility that it'll win. They haven't released the winners yet, but it is a finalist. All that's very cool. But yeah, My Two Clones you can find on mintypineapple.com or youtube.com/AlohaJoe, because someone else has Mini Pineapple on YouTube. But I'm very proud of that short.
It's very funny.
It's very me.
And messed up.
Yeah, I will say it's a little
It's a little messed up.
It's a little weird. Again, that's on minipineapple.com. You can also find Road Trippy, the book. I believe there's a link to it on minipineapple.com. And also, it's on Amazon. You can buy it. It's $6.66 for the ebook. Go check it out. That's all I got to plug. Are we done?
You can follow me on Instagram. It's the same handle as Twitter.
No one listens to plugs anyway.
I've been skating more. You can look up my skating stuff at Magic Thighs.
Spelled M-A-J-I-K-T-H-I-S-E.
I'm going to try and do a skate every day. Well, every-ish day.
You should post that video where you fell on your ass.
I might. I fell hard.
Yeah, she showed it to me, and I was very concerned for her well-being.
I showed it to Joe, like, hey, look at this really funny video I accidentally recorded. And he went, oh.
It's hilarious, because, like, she falls. Then there's another video immediately afterwards where she's putting on her helmet and her wrist guards that she wasn't wearing in the video where she fell.
Nope, and my left wrist suffered for it. I'm fine. I was practicing 180s, and I forgot how to distribute. I was looking at my skates, and that's what's going to happen. You're going to go where you look, and if you're looking at the floor, that's where you'll end up.
Everybody, go follow Tony on Twitter at FWDPWR, and tell her to practice safe skating.
I'm usually very good about wearing my gear, I promise.
If you want to follow me, by the way, I'm just Minty Pineapple everywhere. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, etc. I don't think I have any other handles anywhere else except for YouTube, which is Aloha Joe.
Which is crazy, because that's where you post your videos.
Yep, it's not ideal. But if you like this episode of the podcast, you can check out more on WatchYourRassalon.com. And if you'd like to help us out, you can become a Patreon patron at patreon.com/watchathon. Or you can find our Amazon wish list at watchyourassalon.com/support. And you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing a DVD or Blu-ray for us. We'll mention you on the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassalon page. Speaking of, special thanks again to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Golden!
You can check him out at matthewgolden.net. And I also want to give a special shout out to Vincent EL for providing us with our amazing theme song.
Thanks, Vince.
You can check out more of their music at soundcloud.com/VincentEL or VincentEL.bandcamp.com. I don't know who provided the theme song for Robin Hood, the Disney animated film, but it's real good.
You gotta stop that. We do not have the rights to that.
I mean, it's a cover. It's fine. It's parody. Because my voice is horrible. But tune in next time when we talk about The Five Doctors.
Oh, that's going to be so much fun.
We're doing a live stream. We've already done the live stream. You may have even seen it. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's available to everyone. We're doing it publicly. So usually it's on Patreon for our highest tier. But we thought this is a special episode. So all of you guys can join in. Go watch The Five Doctors with us. This next episode, I don't know if it's going to go up in 2 weeks. I've been trying to stay on a bi-weekly schedule, but life's been crazy and hectic, and I don't know. I'm going to try to get it up in 2 weeks. If not, see you whenever. And I don't know who's going to be on the next episode. I know me and you, and we've invited all of our previous guests.
Yeah, we kind of put like a big open call, and it's just going to depend on who is available that day.
I do believe Christine will be there. I do think Felicity will be there. I know there's a few other people that definitely said they wanted to be there, but we'll see how it pans out. But until next time, keep calm and wrestle on.
Goodbye, and I love you in a platonic, parasocial way.
Diamonds!
Jesus.
Medieval misfits!
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.